to change. We don't have that power, but God does. The power of His Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power also in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to wash away our sins. So, we want to think about the power of the blood of Christ. But Jesus also said that if the Son of God makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Or free truly. The truth of the gospel not only tells us that we will have a home in heaven someday when we die, but the truth of the gospel also promises us a freedom from the control of sin in our life now. That's why our theme this week has been from chains to change. So one of our key verses that we learned this week is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can you say that with me, please?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Okay, so what we did is we studied the lives of some people that met Jesus. And there was a change in their life. Not just because they met Him, but they believed in Him, and they received from Him, and they entered into a relationship of faith with Him. The first person we studied was Zacchaeus. Now, he was a tax collector, And as much as sometimes you may hear your parents talk about tax collectors and the IRS and complain, you have to understand that when Zacchaeus was a tax collector, he was very unpopular with his fellow Jewish people because it meant he worked for the Roman government, and the Roman government allowed him to tax people any way he wanted. And he got to keep all the extra money for himself, and nobody could question him or bother him because the Roman soldiers would protect him. So he was a real cheat, and he wasn't very popular. And something else we found out is he wasn't a very big man. And when he heard about Jesus coming, something inside of him said, "I really need to meet this man. There's something I've got to get off my chest. There's something bothering me." And he tried to see Jesus when he came through. Yeah, that's number 2 and 3. Thank you. He wanted to see Jesus, but he was little and he couldn't get through the crowd and they're all too tall. So he got a helicopter, right? No. He climbed a sycamore tree. And when he got up high, he could see Jesus, and Jesus looked up and said, "You come on down here, Zacchaeus, I want to talk to you." And right away, Zacchaeus had a change of heart. And he told the Lord that he had been a cheat. And that he was going to take half of his wealth and give it to poor people. And he was going to look up all the people he had cheated and pay them back 4 times what he had cheated them. He had repented. Repentance means he changed his mind. And doing good things to people after you've been bad doesn't save you. But changing your mind about sin does. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and you want his salvation, and you change your mind about sin, and you want Jesus to save you from sin, then Jesus is going to do a wonderful thing. And that's what Jesus did. He changed this man's heart. And so the change was repentance. A new attitude. He was sorry for his sins. But then there was another story about 10 lepers. Not lepers. Not leprechauns. No. 10 lepers. Now, leprosy is a terrible disease. It affects the skin and the nervous system. And people not only look awful, but because their nerves are not able to feel pain, they get cuts and they get infections. And pretty soon, after a while, they start losing their fingers and their toes and their ears and their nose. And not just because they look awful, but they're contagious. The lepers have to stay away from everybody else. Somehow, these 10 lepers heard that Jesus was coming, and they had heard things about how he could heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and they thought that he could also help them. So they stood at a distance, because that's what they had to do, and they said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus looked at them, and he told them to go show themselves to the priest, which was the rule. When a person was no longer a leper, they had to go to the priest who would examine them and declare them clean, and they'd come back into society. Well, they did what Jesus said. They walked away, and all of a sudden they look, and wow, they're better. It's all gone. One of them turned around and ran back to Jesus and was praising God. He fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Jesus said, "Wasn't there 10? And only one has come back to give glory to God and to thank me?" And then he looked at that man and he said, "Your faith has made you whole." He didn't say that to the other 9. Yet, Jesus did him a favor. They lost their leprosy. But this one man, he not only lost his leprosy, but he gained a relationship with the Savior. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." And that's something that we're looking for. When someone meets Jesus and receives him as their Lord and Savior, we want to see a thankful heart. We want to see joy and thankfulness. And not be like the grumpy monkeys in this world that are always complaining about stuff. So joy and thankfulness and gratitude, that's one of the great changes that Jesus would bring. Which brings me to Psalm 136, verse 1. Can you help me? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Psalm 136, verse 1. Okay. Then there was the woman at the well. She was in a land called Samaria. Was that a popular place with the Jewish people? No, they didn't like the Samaritans. They had a long time argument with them. And if Jews had to go to the other side, beyond Samaria, they'd walk all the way around Samaria. They didn't want to go even through the place. They wouldn't talk to them. They certainly wouldn't touch them, and they didn't want to be in their land. But Jesus was different. He wanted to go right through Samaria. And he wanted to sit there at a well and wait for a certain woman he knew was coming. He was at a place called Jacob's Well. And this woman came, and Jesus began to talk to her about water. Pretty soon he's talking about a thing called living water, not the water in that well. He says, if you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again. He's teaching about something that will satisfy you all your life, forever. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about forgiveness of sins. He's talking about having the Lord live in your heart. He says it'll be like a well inside you, springing up, and you'll never be thirsty. You know, all those things that make us so unhappy and unsatisfied in life. When you have the Lord, you don't need anybody else. Well, as they talk, eventually this woman comes to realize that Jesus is the Messiah that they said they were waiting for. When she said, realized he's the Messiah, she put her water pot down. She didn't need the water in that well now. She went back in the town and started telling everybody about who she met. He's the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. He's the Savior. Some people believed right away. Some people said, well, we'll see. And they went out there, and there's Jesus at the well, and start talking to him. And then they believed, because they heard with their own ears. And then they said, would you come into town? Would you stay and teach us? And he stayed there 2 days. And the reason that all happened is because this woman knew when to put her water pot down and go and tell other people about Jesus. Nobody told her to do it. As a matter of fact, in those days, it wasn't very popular for a woman to go running up to a bunch of men and telling them anything what to do. And so she was pretty brave. And she was pretty bold. But you see, she was so excited about the Lord, she didn't think about what anybody thought of her. So she had courage, and she had a desire to share something that would help others. So that's one of the changes we're looking for. When Jesus comes into our life, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we just want to tell others the good news. We want other people to know. We want them to be blessed by Jesus. And they can have that relationship also. So, Mark 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. We've been given a job, and this job goes on and on because, you know, in the world there's new people born all the time. Some people die, more people are born. So there's always a new world to talk to. There's always a new world to share the truth of Jesus with. And I cannot personally go to everybody in the whole world and do this. So it means we have to work together as a team. That's what the church is all about. We're not just here to worship and have a good time. We're not just here to help each other. We're here to work together to fulfill that great commission to make sure the gospel's getting out everywhere. So if we can't go ourselves, we'll support somebody else that God called to go to that part of the world. Okay, now, that reminds me of a song. I've got to find out. Are you ready?
Yes.
Thank you. Stop and let me tell you.
Servant. He called a eunuch, but he actually was a high-ranking servant
he served Queen Candace, and he was a worshiper of the Lord, and he had traveled all the way to Jerusalem to worship at the temple like the Jews would. And he must have loved the Bible because he had a copy of the book of Isaiah in his chariot. And he's reading it, and the Lord says, go up there, Philip, and go join this guy. Go talk to him. And he heard him reading, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I understand it? I wish somebody would explain to me. So Philip got the chariot, and the place in the book of Isaiah talk about someone who would suffer and would die for the sins of the people. And the Ethiopian didn't know who they're talking about. Is this Isaiah himself or somebody else? And Philip started right there and began to preach unto him Jesus. Now, one of the amazing things here is that Isaiah wrote this about 700 years ago. He didn't know the name of Jesus, but the Spirit of God had told him to write about him anyways. It's like mysteries, pieces of puzzles in the Old Testament. And with Christ and the apostles, we get those pieces all put together. And so Philip began to tell him the whole story of Jesus. Now, a strange thing happened. They're riding along the chariot, and the Ethiopian stops the chariot and says, look, I see water. I want to be baptized. Well, that seems like a strange request. But let's stop and think about this. If he told him the story of Jesus, he probably told him about the day that Jesus was baptized. And he probably told him how Jesus had all of his disciples baptized. And he probably told him that when Jesus was ready to leave the earth, after he died for us and rose again, he was teaching his disciples and giving them the great commission, the job they were to do. And he said, go and teach all nations. Make disciples. Make followers of me. And baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, the Ethiopian eunuch thought about all this, and he said to himself, you know, I want Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to be along with the people that follow Jesus. I want others to know that I believe in Jesus, so I want to identify with this. So I want to be baptized too. So he asked Philip, can I be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. And the Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This man knew what he was doing. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. He believed that he died for his sins and rose again. And now he wants to follow the Lord in baptism and identify with him and with his people. So Philip took him and baptized him. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn that when Jesus comes into our life and gives us a new heart, not only are we sorry for our sins, but we actually want to do what's right. We care about what the Bible says, and we want to obey the Lord and keep His commandments. As a matter of fact, in John 14:15, Jesus said, want to help me?
If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15.
That's a very short verse. It was a very easy verse to learn. But I told the kids, it's easy to learn, but it's hard to do. And every day we have to ask ourselves, are we really paying attention? Do we really care about the words of Jesus? Do we care what He wants? We're not here just to live for ourselves anymore. He purchased our sins. And we actually belong to Him. So, if we love Him, we should keep His commandments. Now, again, here's the Ethiopian eunuch reading these words that are over 700 years old, and yet they touched his heart. And Philip could speak about them, and this man got faith by hearing those words. This is the wonderful thing about the Bible. These ancient words, let me tell you again, about 1,500 years of time, about 40 different writers, most of them did not know each other. They lived in different places. They lived in different time periods. And yet, every one of those writers felt the Lord guiding them to write something. Even if they didn't fully understand it, they wrote those words down, and now today when we read them, it's like one person wrote them. It's like one person, because God's really the author, isn't it? They were just writers. And those words are still powerful today. And those words will guide us today. And we need to have a relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. Some people are saying the Bible is too old. It's outdated. We've got better knowledge now. But I don't think so. God's not too old. His Word's not too old. But the ancient words, think of the prophecies that were spoken and had come true. There's other prophecies that haven't come true yet, but they will. And think about this, that the men who felt the leadership of God to write down His Word or to speak this Word, if they were just making it up, they wouldn't have suffered the way they did. People got mad at them. People threatened their lives. Some were killed. And they never changed their story. They still said, this is the Word of God, and I will not change. That's powerful testimony. Those ancient words today are for me and for you.
Kids, when I woke up this morning and I just felt something, was on the script before, but I added it today. This whole thing about from change to change, how can you not sing Amazing Grace?
Do you want to get out and help us?
You have your guitar? Okay. Why don't you get your guitar? Okay, I'm going to have some help tonight. Is it handy? Okay, well, that's one of you. Is that a car yet?
Yeah.
Fine. Why don't we sing a little bit? We're going to get a guitar version also. Like I said, this is all on impulse tonight, folks. But let's remember one of the greatest songs about change and change that we've ever had. Let's sing together. They ask and the answers they give and the things they remember. And I never want to limit children how much they can learn about the Lord and what they can do with that knowledge. So I thank you for entrusting your children to us. You give us this opportunity to learn and grow and have some fun, but we also worship together. I mean, it's just now. I want to word of prayer over this, and then Mrs. Lindsay and the others are going to get into the award and the accomplishments. But I think we should hallow this moment. So we bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for speaking to us, revealing yourself to us. We never would have figured you out on our own. And I ask you, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak through the Word now and every day, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, there may be someone here who's never asked Christ to be their personal Lord and Savior, and they've gone through the motions of religion and faith, but not had real faith in their mind and heart. And I just pray, God, that you give that faith. There's someone here who needs to have their sins forgiven and to have that relationship, that they would truly call upon you in their heart even now. And we who know you and love you and trust you, we need to grow. We need to find out ways we can serve. And we need to find out different ways you're still bumping some chains in our life. And in this treasure, help us walk by faith and to serve you, to love you, to not be ashamed of you, to share our faith with others, to confess Christ, to identify with Christians, to see our church, Lord, not as just a place to worship, but as a place to serve together as a team. And you know our needs in each one of us. And I pray that the Father will give us faith tonight for that. Thank you so much for giving us such a great week with such wonderful children. Thank you for all the helpers we had. And thank you for so many that cared to come tonight and to share in this great moment with the children. And that we could never forget, Father, that you want us all to be like children. I ask you please, out of the blood of these things, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.